Hey, this is Kristen Cheetah, and I just want to welcome you today to my podcast. And I got just a couple things before we start. We just finished the Change Your Mind devotion. Our community did 40 days, and it was awesome, and I can't believe how long 40 days really is. I think when you think about, 40 days, that's nothing. But man, just staying consistent and doing something every day for 40 days, I was excited to write those devotions, and I was really excited to just even do them along with each of you that was participating in that. I had such great feedback, and I just really want to thank all of you who responded, who sent me emails, who just really encouraged me that the content that I was sharing was just really ministering to your heart. And so I've made a decision. I'm going to put that 40-day content into, I'm just going to create it into a book, like a devotional book. So my goal is to have that done by the summer. So that would give me a couple months. So I will let you know when that is completed and when it's available. I'm just really excited about going after our thought life. And that has been, that's just been a real, it's been probably my intentions over the last 10, 15 years. So I'm excited to bring, loved sharing kind of the things that God has been teaching me along this journey. And of course, none of us are there because we will have our, you know, there's always things that we need to do to renew our mind. There's always thoughts that come in that are from the enemy, that are from fear, from shame. I mean, that's just the reality. But the more and more that we train our minds to think like heaven, to think like Jesus, the goal of our, kind of just jump in the middle of that sentence. The goal of our whole study comes from a quote by Bill Johnson out of Redding in California, the pastor out there. He says, "I can't afford to have a thought in my head that Jesus doesn't have in his head." So when you think about that, I can't afford to have a thought about me that Jesus doesn't have in his head about me, or I can't afford to have a thought about my children that Jesus doesn't have in his head about my children. Pick anybody. all right. So anyway, we finished that. It was an awesome 40 days. And the other thing I just want to share is that I'm reading a book right now called How's Your Soul? It's by Judah Smith, and the subtitle says, "Why Everything That Matters Starts with the Inside You." And again, it's just kind of talking about your soul, about priorities, about what you're thinking about, how you get refreshment, how you get recreation, how you take care of your soul. And I feel like it goes right along with actually what I'm going to talk about today. We spend so much time in this culture, working on our physical. I mean, oh my goodness sake, how many commercials come on television talking about a diet you can try, or a gym that you can join? I listen to the radio and it's the same things, or even on the social media, you know, the little ads that come up. But how many of those same kind of platforms are talking about taking care of your soul, or being having your thoughts transformed? And so I just really want to encourage you to, the inside of you matters. And actually, we know that the battle for everything is in our mind. And so we want to take control of our thoughts. We want to bring them all captive to Jesus. And we want to really take care of our soul. Proverbs 4 talks about, you know, that we want to guard our heart because our heart really represents our soul. From it springs our life. So we don't want to be haphazard with what we're thinking. We want to be very intentional about taking care of the inside of us and not only just the outside, the outward appearance. So with that, I don't know if anybody wants coaching in those areas. I've been, on my website, kristencheetah.com, you can check that out. And I have a mentor coach page on the website. And reach out to me. Send me, I've got a little contact form on there, and I'd love to have just a conversation with you about that. All right, well, let's get to today. I am just going to share today on soul cravings, which, well, doesn't that just go along with our thoughts and the inside of us, what is happening on the inside? And I really feel like just in all the years that I've been just really studying about our kind of what is woven on the inside the depths of us, I really feel like there's these three soul cravings that are just woven in to our being because of our creator. And these cravings are just really unique to us as humans. And I really feel like the greatest impact that once you get a handle on them, the greatest impact that we can make on others is to help them discover these soul cravings and how God is the one who fills them. And as you all know, when we have these appetites, when we have these cravings, so let's think about it. When I have a craving for, I always crave candy. So let's just say I crave candy. Oh, wait, or potato chips. Those are kind of my two biggies that I go to. But when I have those cravings, if I fill them with, if I fill that craving with the things that aren't really going to satisfy, that craving really never goes away. So sometimes we have to train ourselves for new cravings. And I just think I literally just wrote myself a note on the counter. Okay, you're doing such a great job because I run and I love to work out. But this area of, oh my gosh, I literally just love candy. I crave it. It is not, and it's a soul craving in my my life. But I just wrote myself a note. You know what? You're strong. You are doing so great. You know, just really think about what you're going to put into your body and to just stop that craving. So when I think about our own appetites, we can crave certain things. And when we feed them, we continue to crave them. And when we're like this, I'm really wanting to limit the amount of candy that I eat because it is what I think about. And I know it's silly, but I just want to stop that craving and I want to feed my body with something else. So what we need to know is cravings are really strong and they are these longings. And if we can understand that these three cravings that I'm going to present today, love, hope, and meaning, that these are woven into us. So they are right. They are a gift from God, and we go to Him to be the one to fill these cravings. So when we don't go to Him, we will try to get these cravings fulfilled with maybe illegitimate ways. And I'm just thinking in particular of love, and I'll get into it more, but the way God designed us is for love. He's woven that into the depth of our being. Well, when we don't go about meeting that craving in God's solution, God's way, then we're going to try it to fill it with these illegitimate ways, and it never works out. Like there's always a brokenness that comes. So these cravings are woven into us. And moms, I really want to encourage you that then the greatest impact that you could make on your children would be to help them discover these cravings, and that, you know, we need to know life, we're to experience life in vibrancy and abundance and everything that we need. We've been created with everything that we need to thrive. Your children have been created with everything they need to thrive. We need to know our friends, our coworkers, everything that we need to thrive, God has given us. It is in us. In every age, in every season, we are created to thrive. Okay. So let's get into this. The first craving is love. So you're created for love, intimacy, and belonging. We're created by love, for love. So God is love. It's not that He just feels love. He actually is love. So Him, in His love, it's pure, it's perfect. It can't ever be, like, we don't even understand the fullness of His love, because we're after the fall. You know, we weren't designed in that perfection of Eden. But mankind, as we know, was the climax of God's creative activity. And this divine narrative began with Adam and Eve. Can you imagine what they experienced in perfection? God, here he meticulously prepared everything in the garden, in Eden. Everything was prepared for them with this perfect, pure love and tender care. The idea was that this garden, Eden, was to be the ideal home for Adam and Eve, for them to enjoy, and for them to then enjoy relationship with God. So imagine being created in perfection, and the only things that Adam and Eve knew about the world came from God, came from love, surrounded by his perfect love, or by his glory, by his peace, security, joy, intimacy, oneness. Like these are like, I even look, like just looking at these words that I have written down and just even saying them, they're so out there. It's like we can't take our hands and grab a hold of the pureness of what they experienced, the perfection of what they experienced in security, in joy, in peace, in intimacy. We know in part because we're after the fall. But imagine God breathed his spirit on Adam, and God's essence, his fragrance, is what was breathed into Adam's being. So we're marked by this creator. We're marked by love. So in us, we have this longing for God. We have this longing for love because we're made for it. We're made for intimacy. We're made for love. We're made for love with him. We're made for love with others. And his essence marks our being. And I just want to say that God loves you. God loves you. He made up his mind before the foundation of the earth, before he even decided to create. He knew, or I shouldn't say before he decided to create, because that was always in his intention to create. He made up his mind before he actually created to love. So you can't ever convince him to stop loving you. His love is steadfast. His love is constant. His love remains when you are unresponsive, when you're rebellious to his love. His love still remains. And his love for you, for me, for your children, for your neighbors, for your friends, for your spouse, his love is not dependent on you. His love is not dependent on me. His love is not dependent on my children choosing to love back. Love is just who he is. And he's woven us together. You know, Psalm 139 says that he wove us together in our mother's womb, magnificently, beautifully, creatively. And this is one of the things that has been woven into us, is this desire to love. And we want to receive love from God, that in turn we can love him and we can love others. The only way we can truly love is to know God, to be loved by him, to be known by him, and then in return to offer love back to him and to offer love to others. That's the only true way to love. So that first craving woven, this desire, this longing that's woven into us, is love. The second is this intrinsic craving, is hope. Hope is this belief that there's more. I mean, our whole life is based on this, that there is more. It's like the soul, our soul, it's like it whispers to us that there's more inside of me. There's more inside of you than we even know. And I want to say, moms, that same whisper calls to your children. But what do we know about hope? Hope only exists in the future, because when you think about it, when you receive that thing that you're hoping for, it's no longer hope. Because you have it. And hope causes me to be connected to your future, to our future. Hope drives you forward, and it releases this creative power to affect the future you're believing for. And I want to just share, I kind of have written up, I've taken HOPE as an acronym, and this is, I've really spent quite a lot of time focused on hope, because I believe so strongly that we want to be people of hope. Believers we bring hope to the world. We are the hope to the world because we carry the presence of God within us. We carry His Son, Jesus, and the reality of eternity, the reality of a life that is greater, a life that is beyond this life. This is our hope. Hebrews 11 is all about hope. And, they go through what hope they give. The writer of Hebrews goes through what hope is. It's this place of faith. And so it's a supernatural hope. This craving of hope is not the, I wish, oh, I hope I get a boyfriend. I hope I get that job. I hope I go on vacation. I hope my parents don't ground me. That's not the hope that is intrinsically woven into us. The hope that is inside of us is connected to the supernatural. And it's this favorable, confident expectation of the future, this happy anticipation of good. So hope in the acronym is, first of all, heavenly. The source of our hope is God. It is not birthed on earth. The hope of earth is just, it's not anchored in anything. It's this wishful thinking, and there's nothing to hold it in place. This hope within us is heavenly. The source of our hope is God, anchored in His kingdom, anchored in eternity. And then, it's this overflow. When the God of hope fills you, you will overflow with hope from heaven. Part of the hope that we have in this overflow is agreeing with heaven. What does God say? We want to fill our mind. Again, this is kind of connected to our thought life. Filling our mind with truth, taking care of our inner world, taking care of our soul. And the P of hope, so heavenly and an overflow. P is perspective. What's your perspective? Our perspective is to be, we're seated in heavenly places. So we are to look at everything from heaven to earth. Hebrews 11:1, I heard a great kind of rendition on that, is here's our perspective. We reach into nowhere and we grab hold of nothing and we hold on until it becomes something. This is our perspective. It's a heavenly perspective. We are seated in heavenly places and our minds are to dwell on heavenly things, and we're to bring from heaven to earth. So the E for hope is endurance. Part of it is we dream with God. We have this standing on faithfulness. We have this perseverance. And authority comes when we have stood the test, when we have run the race, when we have overcome. So hope, heavenly, and overflow, perspective, and endurance. And what happens is when you get stuck in the past or the present, you can lose your hope, and that affects your future. Hope is deeply rooted in the mind. Don't let your past determine your future. And God, we have to remember this, God designs our future, your future, based on the future you. He's not looking at even the present you, and He's certainly not looking at the past you. So when we get stuck, we have to stop and we have to say, whoa, that past doesn't define me anymore. I want to stay connected to my future, and God, I'm believing for a great future, And I know that the future you that you see is stronger than the you that's in the present. Wow, that sounded, I hope you followed that. So we, because God sees you better than you can see yourself, he's not limited by time. He's not limited by space. He is outside. He stands outside of time. So hope for a future that is better than you can even think right now, or you can even imagine. Something about hope is that it's hope sees and believes for more. So as you dream with God for your future, as you dream with God for your children's future, dream not from the past. Don't let the past have that hold on you. Let your future have a, like that, let that be what moves you as you dream with God. Don't dream from the past. Don't dream from the present, but dream for the future. And when you're doing this with your kids are not going to always be age 5. Your kids are not always going to be age 16. Your kids are not always going to be, infants. Like, dream with them about their future with the future them, with who they will be. God has already been in the experience of your children, and he's already been in your experience. Because he stands outside of time. He knows their story. He knows your story. So this hope, I want hope to be something that you grab hold of, because it's an intrinsic craving. And when we allow the enemy to get us stuck, or even our own self to get us stuck, and we replay the bad tapes, we replay the failures, we replay the despair, we replay all of the stuff from the past, or where I'm at in the present, I'm just stuck. When we take that, we are not meeting this intrinsic craving of hope with what God's desire is for us in hope. So I just, if you feel like you're stuck, then I want you to pray this over your own life. I want you to pray this over your kids' life. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15:13. Write that down and just pray it. Pray it over your life. Pray it over your circumstances. Pray it over your children. And let hope, let your encouragement, let your confidence in this place of hope be met by God. Something that I think about with this is I ran a half marathon last weekend. And one of the most fun parts about the half marathon, I'm not a competitive person, so, you know, I don't really care about my time. Sorry for all you competitive people out there. It's probably like, oh, what? Like an arrow in your heart. But what I love, you know, I love encouragement. One of the most fun things is just running along and all the people that come out and hold up signs with encouragement that are like, you're doing such a great job. So when you're on mile 1 or mile 2, you know the finish line. So right there, there's a vision. There's hope that I'm going to cross that finish line of the half marathon, mile 13.1. That's what you hope. It's a future hope. Now, of course, it's not too far off in the future. Farther away for some than others. But when you're running all along the way, there are people holding up signs. There are people cheering. There are people ringing bells. There are, you know, people high-fiving you along that way. So when you are, I want to just say, if you are in maybe that place of where you're just kind of, you've lost kind of the vision of the future, get around people who are going to hold up some signs to cheer you on, or write out your own signs. I did that. I did that when we ran this little race. My friend and I ran it, and none of our family could come and cheer us on. They did that last year, which was super fun along the way. So I, the morning of the race, I literally took note cards. And I just, with big markers, I just wrote on the note cards, way to go, Susie, you got this. Or Kristen, keep going. You're doing so great. You know, I had several different cards I wrote up. So I just pulled them out along the race. So if you feel like you don't have people that are there to encourage you while you're running this race, right now in your corner, write yourself a little note of encouragement and just, you know, tell yourself, cheer yourself on to release hope, to release vision, and just keep going. And be that for your kids. Be the encourager. tell them how great they are. Ask God how he sees them in their future. For your friends, for your marriage, take this. And you were created. You're created with love on the inside of you. You're created with hope on the inside of you. Let these be released inside of you in just even a greater measure today. Before I go on to the third one, I do want to share this place of love. I want to go back to that because I didn't share what to pray over your own heart for that. So to just be able to receive God's love, one of the scriptures that you can pray for yourself and pray for your children, I pray it almost every single day. Ephesians 3, 17 and 18. That we, you, your kids, your marriage, your spouse, your friends, your family, would be rooted and established in love and may grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. That's Ephesians 3, 17 and 18. So pray that over your own heart, over your own mind, over your children. And then for hope, our scripture to pray again was Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, this isn't natural hope. It's supernatural hope. Oh, I have so much to say. I love hope. I have a lot to say about that. But okay, I don't want to digress. The third craving is meaning. And I'll keep this one short so we can keep. I try to keep to about a half an hour. But God dreamed of you. Inside of each one of us is this this intrinsic craving of meaning. Why am I here? And I just want to say that you are created to make an impact, to do what matters. Don't live your life for the acceptance of others. I want you to live a life that has deep meaning for God's pleasure. To even find out what it is that you are created for. This isn't like what your occupation is. You want to get with God and say, tell me, what is it? What is it? How am I to make an impact? And you do the thing that's before you. I feel like we can get distracted because we want to be maybe on stage. And I don't mean that like actually on stage, but just we want our impact to be big. And sometimes God just says, do the little things. Because when you do the little things, they actually become big things and they impact in a way that brings him pleasure. God is the one who makes you fully alive. Again, if you can think about people or maybe even in the way in your own life, how you have really illegitimately have fulfilled and that I say loosely, love, hope, and now meaning, where you've gone after it in maybe a fleshly way, a worldly way, the way the culture tells you, the way the enemy might say speak to you, and you just, it like falls flat. It actually doesn't satisfy because God is the only one who meets these cravings, the only one who satisfies us. He gives us life to the abundance. And I want to just say there's an awesome scripture. This is our scripture. We can pray. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. And this is how the Message translation says it. And I just love it. God not only loves you very much, but has also put his hand on you for something special. So God dreamed of you. And God has put his hand on you to do something creative. You have been imagined to imagine. You've been created to create. You are a work of art and you bring creative expression to whatever you're called to do. This is true of each of your children as well. This is true of your spouse. It is true of your neighbors. Every single one of us have been created to make an impact on the earth. You are a work of creativity. Your children are a work of creativity. You're on this planet to do something. You have certain gifts. You have certain talents. You have strengths. You have dreams. And we are to use these to make a difference. The scripture that you can pray over your children, that you can pray over yourself, is Ephesians 2:10. And this is out of the Passion Translation. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works that we would do to fulfill it. Pray that over yourself, over your own heart. You are a creative expression of who God is. You are created to bring beauty to the world. And what does that look like? Like, we need to take our years here on earth to use them for God's good, for his pleasure, to make a difference. You are placed on the earth to affect, to impact your sphere. We bring God's presence. We bring his glory. We his that essence of him, his fragrance that's been stamped in us, on us, through us. We are to expand his kingdom. That was the mandate that Adam and Eve were given from the very beginning, to take who he was, his peace, his glory, his light, his love, his essence, his fragrance, his peace, his joy, to expand the kingdom for his glory, for his pleasure, that others would be brought in to his love and his light. So as you just meet with God, ask him, what is the impact that I'm to have? What is it that you've given me to do that no one else can do? Remember, you've been created. There has never, ever been anybody like you in all the earth. There never, ever, ever will be anybody like you in all the earth. The same thing is said about your children, your spouse, everyone we meet. They are a creative expression of who God is. They've been stamped with his DNA. You are an image bearer. So how do you bring his image to the planet in the place where God has placed you, the place that you're living, the people that you are around? Be intentional to take what God has given you and to use it for his glory and his pleasure. All right, that is it for today. If you want to connect with me, you can find me on kristencheetah.com. And I'm on Facebook, Kristen Cheetah and Kristen Cheetah Ministries on Facebook, to just give you daily encouragement and just speak into who you are and the important place that you have to make an impact on the earth. All right, I am here to help you build a life you love in God. That is what I do, what I feel like God has called me to do. So go and be who he has designed you to be, that his love has called you into. Make an impact today everywhere you go. All right, blessings to you. I'll see you next week.